NFL Week 10 picks, predictions, and betting locks.
We went 4 for 4 last week, meaning our followers made absolute bank. And we're going to do it again this week. This episode of the Beam Pod is presented by BlockBet.
BlockBet offers the best combination of crypto gambling and sports betting, significant bonuses, and has global media branding awareness via their official partnership with the UFC.
Here's how to join BlockBet while receiving the maximum bonus and rewards.
Using our exclusive Beanstalk promo code, you can sign up now and receive a 200% deposit match bonus of up to $500 and 50 free spins on Gates of Olympus.
And if you deposit 50 block or more, you will receive 50 additional free spins on Sweet Bonanza.
We've been making a ton of money using BlockBet, and now you can too. Welcome to Beanstalk Bets. This is Shane, aka Jolly Green.
And this is Josh, aka Nifty.
We made our followers thousands of dollars by going 4 for 4 picking NFL spreads last week. And using our secret formula, we're about to have another perfect betting week in the NFL.
Okay, not only did we go 4 for 4 last week, but 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago, we went 5 for 5. So to hit on multiple leg parlays, man, that pays a lot of money.
So hard.
Like, it's, not only is it impossible to do, but it pays out extremely well. And we have an 82% success rate over the last 6 weeks. That's like 10 times better than the average sports bettor.
Yeah, picking NFL spreads is extremely difficult. We're very dialed in right now with the way that we're analyzing games. We have an extremely high success rate, which means that anyone that's following us, anyone that's watching these episodes until the end, is literally printing money from the sports books. So if you're watching this right now, make sure to like and subscribe and watch this until the end.
Okay, so we're going to start off with our 4 locks. And at the end of the episode, we have 2 bonus picks. We're not going to do this every single week, but there were 2 games that really caught our eye.
Yep.
And we want to highlight them. You can add them to your parlay or not, whatever you want. But we're going to start with our initial 4 locks. Let's get right into it.
All right. So first we have the Atlanta Falcons on the road against the New Orleans Saints. The Falcons are 3.5-point favorites. What do we think?
All right. Falcons are 6-3 coming off a relatively impressive victory against the Cowboys. Cowboys are a bit of a dog shit team. But the Saints, they're 2-7. They're not looking good. They just lost to the Panthers, the 1-7 Panthers. The Saints are not in a good predicament right now. They just fired their head coach. It seems as though they're done for the season. Mm-hmm. They just lost Olave. The guy got carted off the field. He'll probably never walk again. See the way that guy got hit in the head? They also had their Rashid Shaheed. He's gone. He's got an injury. The dismantling has now begun. They can see the writings on the wall. They just sent Chase Young, Pro Bowl, D lineman. He's going to Cincinnati. They also have Marshawn Lattimore, the cornerback. He's going to the Commanders. They're dismantling the entire team.
Yep.
So you have a team like Atlanta who is on a hot streak right now, who is pretty much fully healthy, except for they lost Drake London, but I don't think they're going to...
He may play.
May or may not play. Yeah. But this is a team that is an offensive weapon in just about every category. They're moving the ball up and down the field. Kirk Cousins is putting up numbers right now.
Yep.
To have Atlanta only favored by 3 points... I think we got to smash Atlanta as 3-point favorites here.
Yeah, so we have a red-hot Falcons team who we picked at the start of the year to win the division. It looks like Cousins is really comfortable in this offense now. The first 2 games, we're like, oh, he just doesn't look right. But I think, you know, it takes a little bit of time to get your timing with the receivers. They've won 5 of 6. They've put up between 26 and 38 points in all of those wins. So my question to you is there any chance the Saints can put up 28 points to beat the Falcons? I think there's 0% chance of that. when I look at the matchups, Atlanta to me is almost turning into the Detroit Lions light. They have a top 10 passing and running offense because they have Bijan Robinson and Tyler Algier, which is like, you know, the light version of Gibbs and Montgomery. They have a passing offense where Cousins is spreading the ball around to London, to Pitts, to Darnell Mooney, to Ray McLeod. I mean, he's got a lot of weapons. They're moving the ball, very efficient passing game with some deep ball threats. So they're not as good as the Detroit Lions, but they are kind of like the Lions light to me. The Saints, on the other hand, 30th in yards per play allowed, 5.1 yards per carry on the ground, which is 29th ranked, 27th in yards per attempt in the air. They allow big plays on the ground. They allow big plays in the air. And the Falcons, I think, are going to feast on that. The Saints are on a 7-game losing streak. They're putting up 16 points a game. I just don't see how Atlanta humming along at 28 points a game and the Saints just lost all their players and their coach. Man.
For the only 2 teams that the Saints beat were at the very beginning of the season. They have a fully healthy team. They beat Carolina.
Yeah.
And the Cowboys. That's it. Yeah. Two dog shit teams.
Yeah, I think this is an absolute lock.
Atlanta is undefeated in their division going 4-0, and they have a perfect road record 3-0. Yeah, I think they walk in there and smash them.
I like these guys.
Okay, we also have the 49ers on the road in Tampa this week.
All right, so we have the 49ers are a 5.5-point favorite. Now, I think the 49ers at this point in the year, this could be a turning point for them, right? So they're coming off a bye week. Christian McCaffrey, the 2024 Offensive Player of the Year, is coming back. Deebo Samuel looks to be healthier. So we haven't seen the 49ers at full strength yet because C-Mac's been out all year. And yeah, they were, you know, they had Jordan Mason and that other guy. They've gone, you know, 4-4. They had some okay losses, some not great, whatever. But I think what you're going to see now is a rested and motivated team ready to show the league that they're still the 49ers from last year who should have almost basically won the Super Bowl. Then you have the Buccaneers, who, as we know, they lost Evans and Godwin. They're banged up. They just played a Monday night game in the rain on the road at Kansas City, an extra quarter in overtime, and had a heartbreaking loss. So short rest against a rested team who has getting all their offensive pieces back. Man, this has all the looks as the 49ers coming out and smoking them.
Shanahan's a hell of a coach. And I think with that bye week, you get Kittle feeling fresh. You have Deebo with his pneumonia all sorted out, coming back. You have McCaffrey. You're going to have a fully healthy offensive team. Their defense is still pretty strong. You know, y'all got Bosa coming off the edge and all these things. I think when you look at the Bucs, to not have those two weapons makes a massive, massive difference. You can see it in Baker Mayfield's gameplay. When you play on a Monday night in the freezing cold weather in Kansas City, losing an overtime game, you're not getting home till 2-3 in the morning. Then you got to fly back. You have pretty much two last days of preparation versus a team that has been preparing for the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
To be 5.5-point favorites, like, I think many people forget, like, the 49ers are 4-4, but they have a top 10 offense, and a top 5 offense that is going up against a bottom-ranked defense.
Yeah.
So I think the matchup we want to look at is a top 4 run offense and a top 4 pass offense is up against a 20th-ranked run defense and a 30th-ranked pass defense.
Yeah.
I think the 49ers move the ball easily against Tampa Bay.
I mean, just look at these stats. So the 49ers have had their backup running backs running for them for the first half of the year, and they still have the league's third best yard per carry at 5-1 yards. Then the Bucs have the league's second worst yards per carry allowed on the ground at 4-9. And then you have Christian McCaffrey, the guy who has probably the best vision of any running back coming into these massive gaping holes that the offensive line. It's insane, right? The 49ers also have the fifth most passing yards in the league, and the Bucs had the league's 30th worst passing yards. The Bucs defense can be got. They were got by Hopkins last week.
Yeah.
Man, I think the Bucs, like, they're running on fumes right now.
Yeah,
without Evans and Godwin, they've got Kate Otten, Sterling Shepard. Like, yeah, they got some backups, man. Yeah. I think it's only a matter of time until they get found out, until teams start game planning against their backups.
Yeah.
And I think what you're going to see is a motivated 49ers team. They say, look, the NFC West is wide open right now. The Cardinals are winning the NFC West. But the 49ers, I think, are going to start to come on in the second half of the year. And I think we love them at -5.5. And I think moving forward, watch this 49ers team.
And Jordan Mason's also a really good running back. I think they could have a dual-headed threat there as well. Right, Jordan Mason was leading the league in rushing.
Mm-hmm.
So you got him and McCaffrey?
Yep.
Man, look out.
Yep.
All right, next game on the slate. We have the Lions. They are playing Houston. The Lions are 3-point favorites on the road.
Mm.
I personally said a couple weeks ago that if the Lions are ever, you know, 5.5, 6-point favorites, smash them.
Yep.
Anything less than 6.5 points, smash them. They're only 3-point favorites going into Houston. Who do we like?
Look, it's plain and simple. The Lions are the best team in the NFL. They are so solid in every aspect of the game. Like I said, the Falcons are the Lions light. Well, this is the Lions for real. They have a top 5 run game with their two-headed monster with Gibbs and Montgomery. The Jared Goff completion stats are out of control. Jared Goff has less incompletions passing than the Lions have offensive touchdowns throughout the year.
It's crazy.
It's because their run game is so powerful that teams have to game plan. The first thing that teams want to try to do is take away Gibbs and Montgomery at the line. So they have to push the defenders a little bit up to the line, which is leaving Amon-Ra St. Brown, Sam Laporta, Williams, I know he's out, but it's leaving their receivers in so much space that the play action game for the Lions is devastating. They're so hard to the game plan against. Now the Houston defense is no slouch. The defense is decent, but their yards per carry on the ground allowed is 4.7, which is 24th ranked. Mm. So a bottom 10 run defense against one of the best run games in the league. I think that's a trouble spot. And honestly, Watching the Houston offense operate without Diggs and Collins last week against the Jets was sad, man. Yeah. Stroud is starting to make some mistakes in the pocket. He's throwing interceptions. He had some awful fumbles. He's made some really boneheaded plays. Now, Nico Collins looks like he's coming back, but he's missed how many weeks? Is he really going to be 100%?
Yeah, I mean, missing the 4 to 5 previous weeks. I'm not sure if you can come in with the same game time stamina that's going to be required against a defense like the Lions to maintain that speed and agility and all these things in the fourth quarter if you need it. I'm not sure if Nico Collins is going to have it. Mm. They also don't have Diggs. You know, the CJ Stroud, I think he's in like a sophomore slump. When you're playing in your first year, a lot of these defensive sides of the ball, they don't have game tape on you yet. Now there's a full year of tape on the guy. They can start to see, like, all right, where does he make his mistakes? What type of pressure do we have to send at him? So we're starting to see a little bit of a sophomore slump, I think, for CJ Stroud. He's been a little bit figured out, in my opinion. All right, so let's look at who has Houston beat. They're not looking that strong.
No.
They're honestly not.
And we love the Texans, right? We like them a lot. Yeah,
I like them when they had a fully healthy offense.
That's it, yeah.
So Houston barely beat the 4-5 Colts twice by a total of 5 points. So it's not even like impressive victories. They lost to the 2-6 Jets. They barely beat the 2-7 Jags. They scraped past the Bills and the Bears. Mm. So when they lose, they're losing. When they win, they're barely winning. Mm-hmm. Then we look at the Detroit Lions. Their average margin of victory is 14 points. They're scoring a league-high 32.3 points per game and only allowing 18.5 points per game. Mm-hmm. They're winning by 2 touchdowns per game.
Yeah.
That was a 3-point spread. Like,
and the Lions just added Za'Darius Smith, who has 5 sacks in 9 games this year. He's a 3-time Pro Bowler.
That's
so they lost Aiden Hutchinson, which is a big loss on their D-line, but they're making big moves to bolster their defense. The Lions D is not elite, but it's getting the job done enough. And what I look at for the Lions D in this game specifically is that they're number 2 in the NFL in interceptions, 1.4 per game, and they're top 10 in fumbles forced. So what I see is maybe CJ Stroud throwing a pick, maybe with a fumble as well. I think that's been a trouble spot for him. And again, going back to what I said at the matchups, I'm keying on the fact that they have a top 3 run game, and the Texans' weakness in their defense is their run defense. So I think it's the same script for me. Lions are pounding teams into the ground. I know they're on the road, but they're a dome team. That's fine with them. I think Lions win this game easily by 4 points.
The dismantling teams at home and away.
Yeah, so this is a lock for me.
All right, next game on the slate. This is another divisional game that we have, and that's Philadelphia. They're 6.5-point favorites on the road in Dallas. What do we like here?
So when we talk about the Cowboys, we need to see, you know, talk about what just happened. So Dak Prescott, he's out. You got Cooper Rush, the backup quarterback for the Cowboys, is going to be their quarterback for the next month or so. Now, as you mentioned before the show, Cooper Rush was 5-1 as a starting quarterback for the Cowboys over the last couple of years. However, this is not the Cowboys team that we've seen in the past. CeeDee Lamb also got hurt in the last game. Now, he's week to week. He said he's going to play, but maybe one play and he tweaks the shoulder again and he's out. Or maybe he's not 100%. And CeeDee Lamb is literally their only guy. Like, you know, the rest of the offense, they've got no run game. And then you look at the Eagles. They've kind of started to find their game. They're hot. They've won 4 in a row. They've won 5 of 6. I think what you look at here is a top 2 ranked run game in the league. You have the number 1 running back, Saquon Barkley, versus the 30th ranked run D in the league. The Cowboys are allowing 148 yards on the ground. The Eagles are averaging 175 yards on the ground every game. This is a lot like that Bengals game where we bet on the Eagles to beat the Bengals. It's a sim playbook for me. You see a strong run game in the Eagles against a weak run defense in the Cowboys, same as the Bengals. The Eagles, I think, are going to dominate time of possession. And Cooper Rush, is he really going to have enough to even keep it close? I don't think so.
Yeah, look, Saquon's almost 1,000 yards already this season. He's on pace for 2,000 yards. I think about 200 yards in this game. I think he's going to have to run all over them. So we got Dak out. CeeDee is week to week. So I'm not sure. If he misses this game with that AC joint sprain, who is Cooper Rush going to be throwing to?
You.
Gotta go. We have Parsons, who's questionable again. DeMarcus Lawrence, he's out. So both sides of the ball. Dallas has nothing.
Yeah.
Not to mention, they're leaning on running backs from fucking 10 years ago.
Yeah, Rico Dowdle. And
Rico Dowdle, they benched what's-his-face. He was on... So it's just like, it's just not good. It's not good.
Even when I was looking at, even if they had Dak, right? So when you look at the matchups, that this is what we always like to look at. Dallas's strength this year has been their passing game, right? They have a top 10 pass game, but the Eagles' strength in their defense is their pass coverage. So even if they had Dak and CeeDee at full health, that's their strength going into the Eagles' strength. So the Eagles, their defensive stats are starting to look excellent, and I think they're very well positioned to neutralize. Now you have Cooper Rush going against one of the top passing defenses in the league. I think the Eagles are well positioned here. I know it's in Dallas where the Eagles have historically struggled.
I think this is where the boos come out, though. I think this, I think this is where they start calling for Mike McCarthy's head. I think this is the game.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I think Eagles are starting to come around. Cowboys are kind of like the Saints right now.
Dak was caught saying, "We fucking suck."
Did he? Oh, yeah, that's on right. On the sideline. Yeah.
So it's like, when you're losing the confidence of your quarterback, who's like the guy, the team leader, do you know what that says to the rest of the organization?
Yeah.
I think it's going to be an absolute bloodbath.
Yeah.
It's just like, when you look at the stats, Philly's D's top four yards per game allowed.
Yeah.
Top seven passing yards, fifth in rushing yards allowed, ninth in points allowed per game. Dallas, complete last in every other category.
Yeah, it's not like, good, it's man, not a good it's look.
I don't see where Dallas is able to. Can't possibly see it.
I don't think so. I think this is Eagles. We took the Eagles minus 6.5 in this one. So look, those are our four locks. And here's the most important part. If you like these bets, if you think that these four games are going to win, the only betting platform that we use and that you should be using is BlockBet, because what they do is they offer way more money when you win a bet than any other traditional betting platform. They do a custom parlay with us, Beanstalk Bets, every week where you combo up these four exact games. And if you bet on these four games, you're getting 15 to 20% more in winnings than you will on DraftKings, FanDuel, Bet365. So if you're using any of these other gambling platforms to bet on these games, you're literally throwing your money away. There is no reason to be using these platforms, which is why we always use BlockBet.
It's honestly insane. So I posted this on X. We'll show it again on the screen here. If you make these exact same parlays with $100 on BlockBet, it will pay an extra $200 to $300 more than if you use any other platform. Mm-hmm. No ifs, ands, or buts around it.
Yep.
Now, when we get into our bonus picks,
yep.
These are two other games that we like. We didn't want to put them into the four-game parlay as our locks, but we want to include them because they're interesting. And if you add them to the rest of the parlay, you'll get a 25% boost.
100%. And like, look, you're only going to get these boosts by using our sign-up link, which is in the description. So if you're not already on BlockBet, check out that link. All right. So we have Jolly's bonus pick. We have Nifty's bonus pick. These aren't 100% confidence like they are our four picks, but they're good enough to merit.
I really made a fight to get this one into the top four lock. I really did. And for me, this is Minnesota on the road in Jacksonville. Now, Jacksonville is a pesky team. We were talking about the Philadelphia Eagles and Jacksonville last week. The spread, I think, was like 8.5. And I'm like, no, Jacksonville's too pesky. They always linger somehow. Mm-hmm. They keep games semi-close. So is a four-point spread too pesky? In my opinion, no. But if this spread was sitting around 6.5, I'd say yes. Mm-hmm. Minnesota, I see it. This is a top 10 offense and defense, both sides of the ball. They outmatch Jacksonville in every single category. They have a fully healthy offensive now. They just got Hockenson back as a tight end. So when you're trying to stop Jet on the outside, when you're trying to stop Hockenson, when you have, you know, a healthy running back, yes, they don't have the best quarterback in the league necessarily, but he's still putting up 280 yards a game, 2 to 3 touchdowns. He's, you know, made a couple errors here and there, but overall, the offense looks good. They're up against a 31st ranked defense and a 22nd something ranked offense. And that's without, now they've lost Christian Kirk for the season. They have no Gabe Davis. I don't know who Trevor Lawrence is going to be looking to anymore, mm-hmm. right? I know they're not the number one weapon, but still, mm-hmm. who's the current Bijan? What's
Brian Robinson? Thomas Jr.
Yeah.
Yep.
That makes it so easy to double team his only target. Mm. So I think it's going to be negated. And then I look at one other thing here, and this is the winning margin, point differential. So the Minnesota Vikings have a 7 point per game. They're positive. So they're winning games 26 points. They're seeing 26 points per game. They're only letting up 19. Then I look in Jacksonville. They're scoring 21, but they're allowing 28. So it's a +7 positive point differential versus a -7 point differential. So when I see a spread of only -4 or a 4 point spread, I'm taking Minnesota. I think that's a stronger team to take here.
Yeah, I like it. I don't love it. It wasn't good enough for me personally. I don't know. I think the Vikings are on a bit of a downward spiral. They lost two in a row. They barely beat the Colts. Darnold, I think, is being found out now that people see him play a little more. Jags are a different team at home, so I just wasn't confident enough to put that in the parlay, but we'll see about that one. So my bonus pick is the Cardinals at home, -1 against the New York Jets. It's kind of funny. Like, who had halfway through the year, who's going to say the Cardinals are going to be leading the NFC West? Nobody. And who would have said that if Aaron Rodgers was healthy the whole year, that the Jets were going to be 3-6? You know, if I was like, Aaron Rodgers played every game, he's been completely healthy, you'd be like, oh, that'd be 6-3.
Yeah.
Crazy, right? But the Jets look terrible, man. And, like, I know they were, okay, they lost 5 games in a row. They added Devontae Adams. They just beat the Texans in a terrible Thursday nighter. Yeah. The Texans missed, like, 2 or 3 field goals.
Yeah.
C.J. Stroud looked terrible. They had no Nico Collins, no Stephon Diggs, and they almost won the game. Like, I watched that game, and the Jets' offense is terrible.
They didn't score in the first half.
Rodgers is old. He's slow. Their offensive line is terrible.
Yeah.
Breece Hall can't run the ball because there's no holes.
Yeah.
There's just nothing to like about that game other than that insane catch by Garrett Wilson.
He made two.
Yeah.
Like, two insane one-handed grabs for touchdowns.
They needed that to win the game. Like, that doesn't happen every week, right? Then on the other side of the ball, you have the Arizona Cardinals, right? They've won 4 or 5. They've beat this year the 49ers, the Dolphins with Tua, the Chargers, and the Bears. These are all teams with winning records or decent teams. And their only losses have come against the Bills, Lions, Commanders, and Packers. Top teams in the league. So they're losing to the cream of the crop, and they're beating good teams. The Jets, I think, are neither of those. The Jets are a bad team. Cardinals have played a very, very hard schedule, right? Then when you look at the matchups, okay? So you have the passing completion percentage is 27% for the Jets. Yards per carry, 23rd. The Cardinals, on the other hand, are one of the best rushing attacks in the league. James Conner is having an excellent year. I think what you're going to see is the Jets on the road. I think they're 1-4. They lost to the Patriots on the road a couple of weeks ago. Like, I just don't like it.
That's not the Jets flying east to west, right?
The Jets are flying east to west. What are the stats on that? We know that's not good.
So the game's at what? What time's the game going to be at?
The game. So they're flying. You know, it's a 3-hour time difference. The game is at 1 p.m., so it's going to feel like a late game plus the jet lag.
So it'll feel like 10 a.m., which means they're starting the pregame routines at like 6 a.m., 5 a.m.
It's just not a good
which
look.
Which means essentially they're waking up at 3 a.m. I think that's when you see some of those mental mistakes, right?
Yeah, and I think, look, the Cardinals are a good home team. The Jets are not a good road team. I just think the Jets are a bad team. I think the Cardinals are still being slept on. Like, they have some good pieces. Kyler Murray's having a decent year. James Conner's a good running back. Marvin Harrison Jr. hasn't been great, but he's still out there. Trey McBride is coming on as one of the best tight ends in the league. I think people are still sleeping on this Cardinals team as like a half-decent team, and I think -1, basically they just need to win the game. I think they're going to win the game. So that's Jolly's bonus pick.
I like it because I really like what Kyler Murray is doing lately. I think he's really matured.
Yeah.
So I looked at his first 5 games. He had 11 sacks. Last 4 games, only 3 sacks.
Yeah.
He's also not turning the ball over. He's only had 3 interceptions all year.
Yeah, I think they're a scary, like one of those like pesky teams.
For sure.
That you just, we haven't bet on them or against them all year, but we're kind of trying to figure them
out. I'm scared.
But this time, yeah. I think it's good enough for a jolly bonus pick. So the way that I'm playing these bets and the way that I play the bets every week is I bet on each of these games individually. So I'm going to put down 4. I'm definitely going to bet on the 4 locks. I'm going to bet on my pick. We'll see about the nifty pick. I'm not sure. But I'm going to bet on each game individually. Then I'm going to take our 4-game parlay with the 15% bet boost using BlockBet. And I'm probably even going to do a 5-game parlay, which is going to get it up to 20%. And if I'm feeling real crazy, I'm going to do a 6-game parlay for 25%. And I'm going to win it all.
Yeah. It's a good way of doing it because, you know, if you get the individual bets, which we have an 82% accuracy over the last 6 weeks, you should win. Look, nothing's guaranteed. This is gambling.
Yeah.
We're fucking, you know, it's a coin toss gambling, most of the time. Yeah. We happen to find some competitive edges, which has allowed us to win 82% of our games. Mm. So in theory, if you put down $100 on each game, you should be up right now. You should almost have doubled your money.
Oh, yeah. I think our followers cleared easy 5 figures last week.
Yeah, but when the parlays hit, that's when you turn your $100 into 2,000. Right? So then that's kind of why you would go for the home run.
Go for the home run.
All right. Anyways, make sure you guys tune to the next episode.
That one is going to be a banger.